The Red Eye Radio podcast is a service of Freightliner and Detroit.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
Hello and welcome. He's Gary McNamara. I'm Eric Harley. As we move into a Wednesday, Gary, what's up?
Hi, everybody. Here we go.
Here we are.
Coming up, there's going to be a hearing. Oh, no, wait a minute. There's not going to be a hearing.
Okay, there might be a hearing.
There might be a hearing. Well, we're not sure if there's going to be a hearing. We'll get to the Kavanaugh case in just a couple of moments here. Democrats now officially come out against transparency. We will get to that. We moved on from helicopter parents to lawnmower parents. That's a new term. Lawnmower parents.
Lawnmower parents?
Not the helicopter parents hovering. That were hovering. I actually thought that lawnmower, remember that thing, you're the grass and I'm the lawnmower?
Oh, yeah.
I thought when I first saw lawnmower parents.
You thought that's what that was?
That's what I thought it was. I thought
hard-nosed
parents. The hard-nosed parents, right. That this is a different. No, that's not the case.
So we're going to learn what lawnmower parent means. Don't Google it, by the way.
Yeah.
Stop the Google.
Stop Googling. Right. Look, if you Google anything, you don't need us.
Exactly.
If you do your own research,
you're destroying our jobs.
If you're doing what you're supposed to do, you're going to destroy our show.
We should be able to tell untruths without you checking up on us.
Yeah, we should be able to make any allegation that we want,
right.
And you don't have to check it out.
Exactly.
That's where we're going. Wow, that fits exactly where we are today, isn't it?
Well, no, you know, it's funny because we actually brought that into the discussion with Ocasio-Cortez and others who have Google. You got a smartphone. Try using it every once in a while. I mean, if you're going to push socialism, just get the basics down. You're still going to lose the debate overall. But at least stay on something. At least be able to answer a question. At least be able to get into the ring. They have the Google. They don't use the Google.
Well,
and then it gets back to the... You can use the Google sometimes, not during our show. We believe the government should shut it down between midnight and 5 Central. But other than that, here's the other part of it is the insane studies that we see that, the majority of Americans can't name the three branches of government, can't tell you all the protections provided by the First Amendment. They can't, you know, all of these things that they're completely clueless on, and Google will just bring it up right there for you.
But, you know, I get emails all the time that will ask, this is just an example. I don't know if I've gotten one exactly like this, but I've gotten one similar to this. Look, you guys have been talking about the three branches of government, and I'm completely confused, and I can't find it anywhere. Could you tell me where to find the resource for the three branches of government?
I know.
Put it in Google.
Same resource as everything else today.
Wait a minute. You want to hold on to your privacy?
Exactly. Yeah.
Use one of the other. But just go to a search engine and put in three branches of government.
Right.
It's like, I'm always amazed at some of the questions that people ask me. When I'm like, do they understand that we've had, you know, really an internet that can find you anything?
Right.
For the last 10, 15 years.
I remember going back to when I first came to this job, and one of our former producers, our producer at the time, we went into the one room. It was the producer's room, actually, that had the internet. That was the only room in the building at that time that had the internet. And so we went in there, and I said, okay, so what am I doing? And he goes, okay, you got to type in. And it was Hotbot. The search engine was Hotbot.
Wow.
So he said, you got to type in, like, if you're looking for who is the pitcher for the Texas Rangers, type in pitcher plus Texas plus Rangers.
Could you imagine that today?
See, kids, when we were Googling, there was no Google.
When we were young.
When we were young.
We had a Google without Google.
Well, there was no we had to put the plus between the words. I don't even know where the plus is on the keyboard.
It was 93 or 94.
Yeah.
Where I went to work for a station, and they were on the internet, and it, again, it was basic, totally basic back then.
Yeah, mostly email between, right. In the office.
But,
yeah.
But I remember I had to go. There was a guy who was a famous disc jockey in the town, but he was a computer consultant. He was no longer the famous disc jockey, and he was a huge disc jockey in the town that I grew up in.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, look, you need to go to see this guy. He's our consultant. I said, well, that's the same. He's got the same name as that former huge disc jockey in the 70s. They said, well, it's him. So I had to go. I had to actually drive 20 miles to this office and sat in there for like a 5-hour session of how to use the computer.
Now, did he give you the time and temperature every time, like every 2 minutes?
No. But
hey, Gary, look at this. It's 78 degrees.
And I'm thinking of my dad getting online about 6-7 years ago, which he just said, I'm never going to do it. 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 And now he's using YouTube on the smart TV to check out every type of airplane and military, equipment, video that he possibly can find.
And he
actually told me when I was back just a week ago. I said, well, you're still on YouTube. And he said, I never thought I would ever hear these words from my father, who is now 92 years old. And he said, I haven't been going to YouTube much. I've sort of seen all the videos that you can see on YouTube. I'm like, oh, wow.
Well,
words I never thought I'd hear.
Here's what you do. And actually, you don't want to do this to a fine man like John McNamara. But if anybody else ever says this to you, say, Google or go to YouTube and type in UFO spotted. Just type in those words. And you'll find out quickly that you have not seen all of the videos. type in Chupacabra.
I think he meant like on airplane. He likes the airplane videos and all that.
Well, I've seen all the Whitesnake videos, and Judas Priest videos.
And,
I think
one of the things he was on for like a year was on the model airplane, the huge model airplane videos.
Oh, yeah.
And he'd send me those all the time. Did you see this one? Did you see this one?
My dad has the software, the simulator software, and he gets it updated every, whatever it is. Now, he has the disc, actually, that you put into your hard drive.
Wow.
But he gets that, the new version, whenever it comes out. He's Air Force. He's former Air Force. He was not a pilot. But he flew a lot in planes in his last few years with the wing commander of the base that he was stationed on before he retired. And so he's been in planes a lot. Now you can sit there and he can fly, in the simulator from Texas to wherever, and he'll just sit there all day and fly.
And it was interesting because I told my dad, I told him that it exists, and my dad was a private pilot.
He's a pilot, yeah.
And he has no interest in it.
Well, you know why? It's like the guitar game. I don't have any interest in that because it wouldn't be anywhere close to real
for
your dad.
Yeah, I understand now. It's like the golf games.
Yeah, yeah.
I have no interest.
No interest. You actually play.
My old golfing buddies used to hang out, this going back 15 years ago, used to hang out at this one place. And I'd walk in the one place, and they had the golf video games, and they'd play it all the time. And they said, don't you want to play it? I went, I have no interest in playing it. It's
because there's nothing golf that can replace the real thing, especially when something like flying, right?
Yeah.
And the guitar game, I forget what it was, whatever it was nothing like actually playing guitar, for me. But when it comes to flying, I'm sure there's nothing that can replace that. The real thing.
So we'll get to the lawnmower parents coming up here.
Okay.
Will the Department of Justice slow walk the declassification? One of the reasons that we called for it back in August and said, no, you need another month lead up to it because the Democrats may try and the Department of Justice may try anything to stall the release of the declassified materials.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't want to wait because they're going to try to do everything in order to stall that. And the Democrats came out against transparency yesterday. By the way, a great Wall Street Journal editorial. I mean, just fantastic Wall Street Journal editorial because almost exactly mirrored what we said last night.
Yes.
I read it and I said, at the end, I said, is this going to say Eric Harley? Is this an op-ed piece from Eric Harley? And it's like, no, the editorial board. And I'm like, that's okay.
There you go.
I'm just glad that they... they had the same thoughts that we have. I am not accusing them of plagiarizing.
No, we're just happy that smart people say the same things as we say.
As the two idiots overnight. CNN does a story on Trump's genitals.
Yeah.
From the upcoming Stormy Daniels book. And I just looked at you and I said, could you imagine if there was a woman president and CNN or any network started talking about somebody who claimed that they had an affair with a woman president or a woman politician and then started talking in a negative way about her private parts.
Well, imagine that Hillary had won. You know, there was always a 95% chance that she was going to win. But imagine she had won and someone came out and claimed they had an affair with her. And then put this in the book. You think CNN for a moment would do this?
Yes.
They would not even go close.
The North Korea talks resume. The new cholesterol study that is out there.
Interesting.
And it's interesting because I just started on very low-level statins.
Right, yeah.
And I really don't have a cholesterol problem, but because, as they say, the metabolic syndrome, as they call it, that I have that causes genetically type 2 diabetes, high blood pressure, and all that, they want your cholesterol super low.
Right, right, right.
Because my cholesterol is not high, but they want it super low, and I tried for 2 years to get it down and couldn't get it, just couldn't do it. And finally said, is it time for the low-level statins? Just a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
And he said, okay, if you want to try it, you know, you're still okay, but if you want to try it, so I'm on it. But it's going to be interesting when I talk to him next time about, okay, what do you think about this study? Because when I talk to my doctor, it's interesting because doctor visits are not, you know, there's a couple minutes with the stethoscope. Stethoscope.
Yes.
and all that, you know, listening. But the vast majority of doctor visits are me asking a ton of questions and going through all the blood work.
Right.
What does this mean? What does that mean? What does that mean? What does that mean? What does that mean? What does this mean? And we've gone through, you know, all the different cholesterol studies out there.
My doctor writes a post note to me, and he sends it to me, and it's a letter basically explaining all of the numbers because he doesn't like talking to me, apparently. That's not true. He actually listens, I think. But, it's interesting to look at this study. Again, it's just one study. But you pair this with some of the other new information that says, again, from some in the scientific community saying that actually fats aren't bad for you. It's, you know, of course, it depends on the fats, where you're the source of the fats and how much you're taking in. But it is interesting how, you know, you learn about like the keto diet and everything seems to be really, really divided with doctors. No. Stay on your statins. Stay on your diet, whatever your doctor is telling you to do. Don't eat high fats. I saw one doctor in an article the other day saying this doctor was calling coconut oil, which seemed to be like the cure-all, end-all, be-all, right, for diets because of the way the amino acids and everything, or the composure of the fats in coconut oil are beneficial and everything else. And this doctor was saying, no, it's poison. You shouldn't ever ingest it and all this. It's just one study, but I think it's interesting because of the pattern of other information coming out with fats and everything else. And I think it probably is an indication of how much we don't know, I guess, about the human body.
Well, you know, it was interesting because we have talked about it, and it's like, I think most doctors would tell you, eat in moderation. But that's really what it comes down to. When you're talking about cholesterol, I mean, my doctor was talking about especially bad cholesterol. He said, look, really, as far as I'm concerned, nothing much works to keep it down, the bad cholesterol, except exercise. Exercise.
My doctor told me the same thing. It's really about activity. I mean, you know, a lot of this is about activity, not just about diet. You have to watch your diet. But really, if you have one of these lifestyles where you're sitting all the time, you're just not. You know, your body's not going to be able to process the same way.
Also, coming up, Bert and Ernie. Wasn't that dumb?
Is this confirmation what people have been talking about or giggling about for years? You know, what's interesting is that in the stories surrounding this whole story with Bert and Ernie what one of the creators says, it is that whole relationship is all about. You read that the LGBT community has seen them as what, icons, representatives for years to the point that they were putting them on wedding cakes for same-sex marriages. And I was like, really? I mean, Bert and Ernie? I didn't get that. And by the way, Sesame Street denying this claim by one of the creators of the characters, saying, no, this is about two people who are not the same being able to get along. That's all that was about. There's no, because it's for kids. They're not going to come out going, yep, nope, we agree. That's what it's about.
Now they have to know.
Well, they've denied it. They issued a statement saying, nope.
They're going to have to change it.
Well, here's my question. How much pressure can you put on, you know, the Sesame Street? I mean, you know, the company that produces, is it still on the air? I guess it is, right? I have no idea. You know what? Snuffleupagus. He's the one I'm questioning. What's up with him?
Well, for me, it was always Snagglepuss.
Yeah. Heavens to Murgatroyd. Yeah. Or Big Bird.
Exit stage left.
Yeah.
Heavens to Murgatroyd. For anybody under the age of 120.
Snagglepuss.
Yeah, but see, anybody who saw Snagglepuss is laughing right now.
I think so.
That's the only point. If you don't know Snagglepuss, then it doesn't matter that you're not laughing.
Exactly.
Only if you know Snagglepuss and say, wow,
by the way,
guys referenced Snagglepuss on the show.
That you can Google.
Yes, you can.
Go ahead.
866-90-RED-EYE.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Hurley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. So, woke up last night before I came in and just scanned the news and said, okay, it's done. Nothing's going to be accomplished here. It's just a stall tactic. There's not going to be an FBI investigation because, and the Democrats are, you know, screaming for an FBI investigation. And I thought to myself, what, that was the first thing. Nothing's going to get done here. It's up to the Republicans to say, okay, Monday is it, or you have till the end of next week, and then we have till Thursday of next week, and then Friday we're holding the vote no matter what, because when it's a stall, and you come to the question of, because this is what I think it comes down to, Eric, is an allegation that is unproven enough to keep somebody from a Supreme Court judgeship. Because we're not going to learn anything new here. There's not going to be an FBI investigation. The FBI didn't investigate him to begin with.
Right.
People, well, the FBI already did an investigation. No, they didn't.
No.
They did a background check.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't investigate him for any wrongdoing. They talked to people who knew him and just asked him questions about his character. It wasn't an investigation.
Right.
We'll talk more about this coming up on the bottom of the hour.
For Cobra Electronics, here's your forecast.
As river flooding continues in the Carolinas, so do the road closures. Be mindful of that today if you're in and out of the Carolinas. In the wake of Florence, prolific river flooding will remain a long-term concern for the Carolinas and parts of southern Virginia. The remnants of Florence will be lingering off the east coast around New York City today and then eventually making its way out to sea. We're looking for clear conditions for the Midwest today with plenty of high pressure in place through the southern plains. One area of precipitation from yesterday lingering as a stationary front, that'll be between Madison and Pierre on I-90 in the northern plains. The west is dry west of the Rockies, not much to talk about in terms of any rain. It's the I-95 corridor from Maine to Florida that'll see the bulk of the precip today across the nation. And there's a midweek look at your national weather forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Thanks so much, John. 866-90-RED-EYE.
They've well-deservedly been called every name in the book. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. All right, here we go. All right, let's get right to it, and the allegations of against Brett Kavanaugh.
Mm-hmm.
If it wasn't obvious, one thing we learned in a very rapidly movement of a news day,
mm-hmm.
as it was yesterday, by the time I got up, which is roughly 9:30, to get ready to come into work, and saw, oh, okay, she wants an FBI investigation. The lawyer wants an FBI investigation. And I went, this is going nowhere.
Right.
The Democrats came out, and, you know, Schumer's out there stating, well, the FBI did their investigation already. They need to open the they didn't do an investigation to begin with. I just have to ask, over the last couple of days on these issues, can the Democrats ever tell the truth about anything?
No. Well, no, and right now especially, it doesn't matter what they do. They know they can get away with it. No one's going to call them on it. You know, I mean, if Trump had made that claim, if Trump had said, well, they've investigated whoever, the media would be very quick to fact check that.
Yeah. Well, I'll have the quote from Schumer. Here it is.
Mm-hmm.
The FBI conducted a background check on Judge Kavanaugh before these allegations were known. Minority Leader Chuck Schumer said Monday on the Senate floor, it is now the FBI's responsibility to investigate these claims, update the analysis to Judge Kavanaugh's background, and report back to the Senate.
Mm.
Well, that's inaccurate. The only part that is accurate is they did a background check. But they did not. It's not the FBI's responsibility to investigate those claims.
No.
That's not what the FBI does in there. When the president picks a nominee, the FBI does a background check for the president.
Mm-hmm.
They do a background check to the president, you know, and they go back and look to see whether there's any arrest records, and they get together a file. The file does not give a recommendation to say he's fit or unfit, or he might have done. It's simply,
here's what we found.
These are the interviews that we have done.
Mm-hmm.
We do not make a judgment as to the credibility of the witnesses or anybody who we interview who knows Judge Kavanaugh. They don't make an assessment of it like you would an investigation. All right, we have nothing here. We have something here, because it's not an investigation that the FBI does.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, that's the first. You know, we sat yesterday with the whole, and we're going to be doing it again today with the Democrats when it comes to the declassification. And we're like, can they tell the truth on anything here? And so that's why I've said, can the Democrats tell the truth on anything over the last couple of days? When you look at both the declassification argument for the FISA warrant information, and now when you look at this, can they ever tell the truth on anything?
No, because they know right now they're going to have to. They're about as desperate as they've ever been. But they know, especially with this current president, this current administration, that they can get away with being even crazier than they have before, getting away with doing things that they have done before, but at a different level. I mean, they have really ramped it up, and they know they get away with it because the media is going to focus on what Trump tweeted today.
Right. And so the lawyer is asking for something. You were making the example in our pre-show meeting, Kim Jong-un coming out and saying, well, I'll get rid of my nukes.
Yes.
If the U.S. gets rid of their nukes.
Yes.
You know, and if the U.S. does the same. Now, he didn't explain what he meant, because that's not going to happen. I mean, South Korea may de-arm a little, you know, may de-escalate a little bit, but the United States is not going to lose our ability in that region to use nukes like that.
Right.
But it's almost when Kim Jong-un says something that you know is not a possibility.
He proposes the impossible prerequisite, and that's exactly what the lawyer suspect has done here for Ford in the Kavanaugh situation. I think her lawyer has basically said, put something forth, because what this could possibly mean. My theory is this: she's not confident, or the lawyer's not confident, that her testimony will hold up. And there's a concern there, because what did we say even before it was announced that she would be testifying? We said if she testifies, she will be under oath. There are certain answers she's going to have to give that are going to have to be absolute if she wants to be seen as credible. If they are not truthful, if the lawyer has found a pattern of missing information or holes or the story changing, which, by the way, we're told by media reports that it has a couple of times over the years, if the lawyer believes that, then it would be the lawyer's defense would say, or the lawyer's positioning would be, okay, let's propose something that's never going to happen and make it sound noble. Because if you read the stories that came out during the day on Tuesday, late Tuesday, as the story was breaking, they all assume that this is on the up and up and that the lawyer is just trying to fully vet this and the situation completely to make sure that the client is heard and that there is believability going in. Because one of the statements by the lawyer was, she's going to be facing a number of questions by people who already believe she's not telling the truth. I'm paraphrasing there, but that was the effect of the statement by the lawyer. And I thought to myself, you knew that going in,
right?
You knew that as the lawyer going in, she knows that it is going to be a number of people on that panel who don't believe you and a number of people on that panel who believe you. That's always going to be the case. You knew that was going to be the case. And to say that now tells me that the lawyer is afraid that this thing will fall apart, disintegrate, and Ford will not only be embarrassed in front of the nation, but could be held accountable if she indeed is caught lying in under oath. And I suspect that's the case. This, to me, feels like the lawyer and or Ford flinched.
And so for anybody who is, and, you know, I saw Rob Reiner yesterday, basically, she's right, he's wrong.
Yeah, right.
It's like, wow.
How do you know?
People make, you know, they're making these absolute judgments. I believe her.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
we knew that was coming.
And by the way, Schumer said that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that just shows what a political partisan you are.
Mm-hmm.
As we have said, I don't know her. I don't know him.
Right.
All I can go by is the evidence that exists. That's what we do on the show.
Yeah.
And if you don't do that, then you are exactly what you claim you hate, which is plain political partisanship, you know, with anything like this. Or, you know, we talked about Trayvon Martin yesterday and the politics played with that. Ferguson, the politics played with that. People having definitive opinions, having no idea what the actual evidence is on the case. And as we've said, and I started off the show today, and I'll say it again, this is a case where she's made an allegation that she's not going to be able to prove. We all know that.
Right.
That the one witness she claims is a witness said it never happened. And by the way, I didn't ask for this. I don't want to be a public figure. I'm not going to testify. I'm making the statement now. This never happened. I never saw Brett Kavanaugh do anything like this, and I'm out of it. I didn't ask to be in this, and I'm not going to be dragged into this, but mm-hmm. I'm telling you what I think. Here's my statement through my lawyer. I'm done. It didn't happen.
Well, I guess, go ahead.
The FBI's not, number one, the FBI would not be the law enforcement agency to investigate this anyway. It would be state law enforcement that would do it. But since the statute of limitations is way up on it, and it's it's a case where obviously right off the bat, this is why the FBI said last week, no, we're not going to do an investigation on this. And most law enforcement would say, local law enforcement, well, where did it happen? Not sure. Did it even happen in our town? Not sure. Do you know what house it happened? No, we have no idea. Well, sorry, there's no place to start an investigation because you, as the alleged victim, have only given us two people that are possible witnesses, the alleged perpetrator, and another witness that was there who both claimed it never happened.
Mm-hmm.
So there's nowhere to go on it. So the question is, because this is what it comes down to, the Democrats wish to make any Republican, not Democrat, but any Republican automatically unfit for the Supreme Court if there is an unproven allegation against them.
Well,
that's where it ends.
And if it's the Supreme Court, certainly it has to apply to the presidency. I'm sure Mr. Schumer and Rob Reiner believe Juanita Broderick, right? You must.
Yep.
If you're going to apply that standard without proof, then you must apply it to all women who claim the same thing. Who claims something when, in fact, Juanita Broderick claims that the crime, a crime of rape happened.
And so the demand from the lawyer is an impossibility.
It's not, and the lawyer knows this.
I'm waiting for the Democrats to ask for a special counsel.
Yeah, right. Right, exactly. A special investigation. Well, I mean, that's essentially what they're asking for, you know, from the FBI. But they know it's not going to happen. All they're the only position here is to delay this thing so that Kavanaugh can't be seated, or pressure Kavanaugh to back down and withdraw back out of it. The administration to decide at some point they have to choose another nominee to delay the process. That's all they want to do.
What Dianne Feinstein could have done is when she got the letter, she should have given that letter to the FBI at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Look, this is information that we got. The FBI looks at the letter. Mm-hmm. This is the allegations. They go and they talk to everybody involved. They simply talk to everybody. They don't, because it's not an investigation that they're doing. It's a background check. They talk to all the parties involved, and they would give that back to the Judiciary Committee in closed session.
Right.
That didn't happen. Why didn't that happen? So anything that is saying that the Republicans are trying to delay, or trying to fast track this, no, you're trying to delay it, and the evidence shows you were trying to delay it and trying to make this a political football, knowing the fact that, okay, all we have is an allegation, and this looks like a tough one here to prove, and we don't want Kavanaugh to be the Supreme Court justice, but man, let's hang on to this as long as we possibly can.
Right.
Let's not give it to the FBI. Let's not do our due diligence, as we should be doing as people of the Judiciary Committee. Let's use it as a political football and pull it out right before the voting's supposed to start.
And if they'd known, if they believed, if Feinstein or any of them believed this story, why wouldn't you present it right away?
Yep.
Why did you wait? And this is your last ditch effort here. Why did you use this as your last ditch effort? Wouldn't this be your first? Why do you save this as your, well, pardon the pun, trump card?
Why didn't the letter go to the FBI to be part of the background check so they could talk to all the parties?
You could have undone this weeks ago.
Because the goal was never.
No.
The goal was never about Ms. Ford.
And it tells me they don't fully buy the story.
And the goal is not about supporting hashtag Me Too.
It's not about justice for anyone.
No. Because if they're truly looking for justice, she would have given that letter to the FBI back in late July.
That's right.
It's not about, and everybody knows it. That's
right.
The whole point. Anyway, if you're a Democrat, you know it. You know this is not about justice for Ms. Ford.
No.
You and I, we all know it. It's about denying Brett Kavanaugh a seat on the Supreme Court,
mm-hmm,
because you don't want originalist constructionist judges on the Supreme Court.
Right.
You want to be able to control the justice system with your day-to-day politics. That's what it's about. Everybody knows it, even Democrats, if you're listening right now, you know it.
Yep.
Because if it wasn't, she would have presented the letter when she got it,
mm-hmm,
right to the FBI to be part of the background check, and she held on to it, didn't bring it up, didn't show it to anybody, until the voting was about to start.
Right.
And then it's like, okay, let's pull this out now. Everyone knows it.
Mm-hmm. And they also know, or I think they believe that if they can get those soft Democrats, Manchin, Heitkamp, Donnelly, on the other side of election, if they can push this back past the midterm, they believe
it's done
because even if they got to a confirmation process in late November, if it's after the election, a Donnelly, a Heitkamp, a Manchin, if they win, can be safe in voting no for now because they don't have to worry for 6 years.
Yep. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Carly. I'm Gary McNamara. All right, the declassification and more on the Kavanaugh allegations all coming up.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. So this is, at least in my opinion, what this comes down to is an uncorroborated allegation with no witnesses from 30, it may not be 36 years ago. It could be longer because she doesn't even know. She's not even sure in the allegation. She believes it was 1982, but isn't even sure of the year. When we talk about Ms. Ford, the accuser of Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh, but is an unsubstantiated, uncorroborated, from her own side, from the people that she claims were the perpetrators, mm-hmm. both of them say, this never happened. Mm-hmm. It's 36 years ago. Is that enough? Because that's all, from what I don't see any new witnesses coming forward. And so this is what you have. The Democrats, as we all know, calling for an FBI investigation, which, again, is, I don't know. I'm trying to come up with a scenario. They're making a demand that is not going to happen because it's not even it's not the responsibility of the FBI. It's not a federal crime. The statute of limitations are over, and the FBI does not do investigations of Supreme Court nominees.
Mm-hmm.
As the Democrats are attempting to make you believe, and this is, again, a situation where the Democrats are relying on the ignorance of the people that they vote for them. Well, it's only fair that the FBI do it. That's not what the FBI does. And so, I don't know, I think maybe in the back of their minds they're thinking, well, the FBI, you know, hey, they had there wasn't even a crime. Nobody could even figure out what the crime was. Of Donald Trump, and we threw the allegation out, and the FBI was investigating it for a year, and now the special counsel's been investigating it for a year. We can't even tell you what the crime is, so we can keep these investigations going on forever. Have the FBI do it, which means what? There's no chance of Kavanaugh becoming a Supreme Court justice for what? Another year?
Yeah.
If you wait for an FBI investigation? That's what I think some Democrats are thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think this is where Republicans at. Look, we gave her chance. She made the accusation. The Democrats had the chance to bring it. The Democrats had the chance. Dan Feinstein had the opportunity to give that letter to the FBI as part of the background check, where they could have said, okay, let's just talk to all these people. They would talk to all the people involved, if those people wished to be talked to, which would have been Mark Judge, right?
Yep.
Or if she was even willing to talk to the FBI about it, They wouldn't make a judgment on it. They wouldn't make an opinion on whether the interviews were credible or not. And they'd present it to the Judiciary Committee. And the Judiciary Committee would have had all the information from the FBI when they had the public hearing, public hearings for Judge Kavanaugh a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Why didn't they do it? Because it's political. They need to explain that, and they need to get on with the vote. Because the question would be then, are you unfit to serve as a Supreme Court justice if there is an uncorroborated allegation from 36 years ago without any evidence that ever existed, and the person who is making an allegation extremely fuzzy memory on so much of what you would need to pinpoint that this person who you're accusing of doing something to give anybody a reasonable suspicion that he was actually involved in it.
Right.
And the answer would be no, you don't stop the Supreme Court. You don't stop it.
Well, and you see the essentially Ford and her lawyer backing down here. Lisa Banks, the lawyer, telling CNN on Tuesday evening that she's not prepared to talk to the committee now. She will talk to the committee, but not on Monday. So what is that? Well, then we should, what, give her time? Then she sets the condition that, well, the FBI investigation must be done before she would be willing to testify. No. She has her chance to talk to the committee. She has it on Monday. She said earlier this week that she would be willing to do that, either go forward on Monday or get on with the vote. End of story. Cancel the hearing on Monday if she's not going to be there. There's no reason to have the hearing. Because then what would you have? If you were to continue with the hearing, it would just be, okay, we're going to ask you, essentially, Kavanaugh, about the accusations. What accusations? What story? If she's not here to tell it, because what does that become? Well, yeah, but he gets his chance, she doesn't get hers. No, she had hers. The invitation was there. The hearing was set. All of a sudden, you get closer to it, and the lawyer gets cold feet.
Well, we also, look, if you're inside Washington, and we know that her lawyer is, that if you come forward with an allegation, any lawyer is going to tell you your life is about to become a living hell.
Mm-hmm. You know that before you make the commitment.
So why the lie detector test?
Mm-hmm.
As soon as you send it to somebody, any lawyer is going to tell you, worth their salt, as soon as you send it to Dianne Feinstein, your life, as you know, is over.
Mm-hmm.
So she did it in July.
Mm-hmm.
And now the lawyer is claiming, well, her life has been turned upside down. You knew it was going to be turned upside down. Let's not be children.
The letter started that.
Right. Let's not be children here. You know it, and the lawyer, you know, claiming, well, her life's been turned upside down because of this, and we need to make sure for the sake. You knew that back as soon as she sent the letter.
And if you didn't know that then, you certainly knew that before you committed to a hearing earlier this week.
Well, she knew it.
Yes.
I'm not, she.
Well, that's, and we're going through the logic here.
Right, the lawyer.
If you didn't know it, you certainly knew it before you committed to a hearing. You knew that was going to be the worst. That was going to be getting out of the frying pan and into the fire. You know that.
So there's the two possibilities that you and I talked about.
Mm-hmm.
That her lawyer has looked at her and said, "Uh-oh, she can't withstand cross-examination on this. She's going to look good." Or the goal was never to really go through the hell of testifying before the committee. It was just to play this game, to play a Kim Jong-un game of let us put out the accusation and let us keep trying to stall this nomination. And hopefully the, you know, that this was what the lawyer would be thinking about, that we will just try to, you know, run this out as far as run out the clock on this. Because the fact that as soon as she sent the letter, anyone is smart enough to understand what happens at that point. This is going to be a political football. Your name is going to be found out. And all you have to say is Anita Hill. You know it's going to become a circus, and you're going to be part of that circus. Either you're prepared to do it and testify and go public with it and have your face be seen and go through all of that. And when it comes down to it, your lawyer eventually says, I don't believe you're ready to do this. Or it was never your intent to go through all of this, or to actually go. Your intent was to get it this far. You knew the possibility was going to get it this far, but you never intended to testify. You just want to run out the clock.
Or you were pressuring, thinking that Kavanaugh would withdraw
on the
his nomination after you committed to the hearing. We don't know. But what we do know...
That's a good point. Another good point.
We don't know, you know, exactly how it went down, but what we do know is that if the lawyer had confidence that she could, just assuming for the sake of the argument that she is, that Ford is lying, and the lawyer knows she's lying or not confident that she's telling the truth at the very least, that lawyer's not confident that she could withstand a hearing. So what does that tell us? It tells us that a story that has had holes in it from the beginning is now disintegrating before our eyes.
866-90-RUD-EYE.
When it comes to proper tire care and maintenance, what can you do to improve fuel economy? Jason Evans is Director of Store Operations for GCR Tires and Service, and he tells us.
Fuel economy is certainly something on the top of everybody's mind. So I think the industry in general understands, beginning to understand the importance of things like air pressure. But just to throw an idea out there that maybe not all our listeners hear all the time, is check your tread depths. Check your tread depths, particularly on dual wheel positions where tires are bolted together and essentially forced to rotate down the road at the same speed. Because for $2 in your local truck stop, you can find a tread depth gauge. Anything beyond 1/8 of an inch difference, or commonly referred to as 4/32nds in the tire industry, between dual positions can really add to rolling resistance. Not only does it add to rolling resistance, it tears up your tires faster. And in a lot of cases, it's a similar condition in terms of a fuel economy as having maybe a brake dragging. That may be a tidbit out there for the listeners to really key in on, because mismatched tread depths on duals can really add to rolling resistance.
This has been the Meritor Driver Report, brought to you by Pilot Flying J, Shell Rotella, and Meritor Aftermarket. Run with the bull.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
Front Eye Radio, he is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Welcome and good morning. Let us head right to you about the allegations against Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh. We go to Greg in Chicago. Greg, hi, you're on Front Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi.
Well, thanks for having me on. I guess my understanding of this whole thing is the committee's job is a job interview, right? I mean, it's their job to vet a potential nominee for the Supreme Court. If I went to a job interview as a truck driver and I said, well, I don't have any felonies or whatever, and they withheld that information in the job interview, shouldn't Dianne Feinstein be held accountable for withholding information from a committee meeting?
You know, that's a great point, because here's what I would say. In fact, I was thinking of it a different way, Greg, and I thought, if you're on the left and you're opposed to Kavanaugh, then you should be blaming Feinstein, because there is a process during the vetting process it's quite possible there would be some questions. It wouldn't be a criminal investigation, but there would be questions by those doing that vetting of a situation if it arose. If Feinstein said, I have this letter, it was brought to my attention that this, through this letter, that this occurred, or this person claims it occurred, please look into this as a part of the process. If that had happened in July, then we would be looking at a much different situation, well, likely a different situation right now. But the point being, at least from, you know, what I was going to ask for people on the left, if you're opposed to Kavanaugh, you should point to Feinstein.
Yeah.
And,
well, I mean, it's not
except,
even left or right issue.
Except for the except for the right. Except for the fact that her job, according to Democrats, was not to vet him. Her job is to ensure and do whatever she possibly can to ensure that he does not become a Supreme Court justice.
That's their tactic. But my question would be, if you believe her, then wouldn't you want this to be on the table right away? It would have destroyed Kavanaugh's, or possibly could have had a greater bearing on Kavanaugh's chances in the vote.
Well, they may believe her. They don't believe that there's enough evidence to stop it.
Right. But it could have cast the doubt early and changed that process. So
yeah.
I point the finger at Feinstein as much as anyone. Look, the situation, I think, is coming together for most people. You look at it for what it is. None of us were there if this event actually occurred. We should put that on the table right now. But beyond that, it comes down to believability. We said this about the Roy Moore case, although there were things, there were tangible things we could point to in the Roy Moore case. Well, in this situation, there really is nothing tangible at all. It's
no.
One person making the claim. It is not even a number of people saying, well, the guy was kind of aggressive with girls, or he was really, and there was a rumor that something like this had happened or anything else. This is one person making a claim.
Well, and my advice to the Democrats would be to keep going, because you're just
yeah.
the bill in your own pocket.
Well, I mean, seriously, when you look at their tactics, I put this up there right now because the credibility, again, is disintegrating by the second, if there ever was any credibility to begin with on this case. But I pair this with the Lanny Davis thing. I mean, it wasn't just Lanny Davis. You had CNN fully involved in creating what? Lies about Cohen. I mean, that was a big deal, but it was. Yeah, but it's all about, and we know this, it's all about destroying Trump. I told Gary during the break, you know, one of the possibilities that we didn't discuss, you know, about this tactic with Ford versus Kavanaugh, it could be not just to get Kavanaugh maybe to withdraw his nomination, but knowing the reactive nature of this president at times, maybe to have Trump withdraw the nomination, and maybe that was their tactic. We don't know. It's likely we'll never know, but I think we can all read between the lines here as to what's going on. At the very least, we can see that the credibility in this case is all but gone. If there ever was anyone, any credibility at all, it's pretty much disintegrated by now.
Yeah, Go ahead. Yeah. Okay, we've lost him.
Thanks, Greg. Greg, we appreciate it.
It's like I said, I woke up last night and said, okay, this is simply a stall tactic. That's what it is.
Well, it was clear that the lawyer Banks was flinching. And then all out, essentially, by the time you put it all together, it was not just flinching, it was walking away here. There is no chance that this thing is going to be delayed. It's not going to happen. Grassley is not about to say, well, we're going to just stop this and let an investigation take place, which is an indefinite period of time. We want to make sure it's a thorough. That's not going to happen. And I suspect that there's a good chance that they cancel the hearing on Monday altogether, because you want to talk to Kavanaugh about this? He's already made a statement. What are
right.
you gonna, what's he going to say? And you're not going to have his accuser there. So what's he going to be answering for?
Yeah, it does no good to have Kavanaugh just there getting bombarded by the Democrats
right.
Again before the vote.
Then claiming that she never had her chance.
Right.
Nope. If she's not willing to appear on Monday, cancel the hearing, get on with the vote. End of story.
And I think, you know, again, by the time we get to later on today, I really wonder where we're going to be. But Thursday, I can see, nope, we're going to, you know, it's Monday. We've given you the opportunity to do it. If you don't wish to do that, you can come in and chat to us on Monday outside the television cameras. Mm-hmm. And then on Wednesday, we're having the vote.
Right. And that will be it.
Right.
Nothing further, because then once the vote happens, it's just at that point, if he is approved, if he's confirmed, at that point, the president swears him in and it's a done deal. You still get this done by October 1.
So, there you go. Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Hurley, and I'm Gary McNamara. 866-90 Red Eye on Kavanaugh and the allegations. Right back to you we go. Let's go to Tom in Georgetown, Kentucky. Tom, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi.
Hey, thanks, guys. I actually only ever get to listen to your show like 10 minutes on the way home every night because I work second shift. Anyway, yes, you always have great comments. I just don't get to hear enough. But my comment was, initially you started talking about how everybody thinks the FBI ought to look into this. And pretty much that's kind of the low-information voter scenario where they watch TV.
Yep.
And, you know, you see FBI shows, you see NCIS. You know, and every other week you're working on a non-federal claim.
Right.
And people go, oh, yeah, the FBI looks into that stuff.
Yeah.
No, they don't really. Not
yeah.
ever. It's
right.
not legal if they do.
Yeah, those are the same people that also believe, because of watching Law and Order for 20 years, that a crime is solved in 1 hour, including the trial.
Or like the one with the crime inspection, whatever. There's people that go out and do the criminal work with the fingerprints and all that.
Right, right.
And they solve the whole. They do everything, solve the whole case, arrest the guy.
Yeah, they chase down the suspects. Like, yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, what was it? The show Quincy back in the day. Well, that was under the age of 140.
Exactly, same thing.
Yeah, yeah. The ME is solving crimes. Yeah. Yes. Right. Yeah. Yeah,
the assistant, I can't think of his name. Remember assistant on
Right.
Quincy? He did all the work.
He did all the work.
He was
Quincy.
Actually he was the coroner.
Right, right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Thanks, Tom. We appreciate it.
As we said, the FBI, and that's, again, playing to the ignorance of whether it's the Kavanaugh allegation that the Democrats are relying on the ignorance or, as Jonathan Gruber would say, the stupidity of the people that vote for them.
Yeah.
That is that the if you're a Democrat right now, the Democrats rely on your stupidity, that's a quote from them, and ignorance so they can sell you anything even if it's not the truth.
Right.
And they continually do that. I'm not saying the Republicans may not do it, not close to the level that Democrats do it, because it is consistent. And you see it here, whether it's the Kavanaugh allegations or whether it's the classification, which we're going to tear apart today, because more Democrats are coming out and stating an abuse of power by the president. It absolutely is not.
Right.
It shows you that either they are willfully lying, willfully ignorant, or they're just as ignorant as the rest of the American public when it comes to understanding the three branches of government and the separation of powers.
Yep. And there is a process here. This situation has been, I think, vetted thoroughly. If Ford is not willing to talk to the committee, not willing to appear on Monday at the hearing, cancel the hearing, get on with the vote. If the lawyer agrees that Ford will talk to the committee in private, she talks to the committee, get on with the vote. Because I don't know what information, you have to ask yourself, what information would change Grassley's mind to the point where he would delay
well,
a vote?
Well, no, it's a courtesy and it's a political understanding of the hashtag Me Too.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it is because...
That's it.
Unless,
it's the only reason Monday ever even was scheduled.
Unless she hasn't told the complete story.
Right.
And there are more people out there that she could identify that witnessed it, which then would extend it longer to get a response from those particular witnesses.
And you would have to ask yourself, why wouldn't we already know that? You know, why wouldn't she have presented that from the beginning?
Right. But as the other alleged witness, who said he wasn't a witness to anything, wrote yesterday through his lawyer, I'm not going in front of the committee.
Right.
I didn't ask for this.
Right.
It didn't happen.
Right.
I'm not involved. I don't want it. I didn't ask for it. This never happened. I never saw Kavanaugh like that. I'm not getting involved in the circus.
Right.
Is what he basically said yesterday.
Right, Mark Judge.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, but he's denied it.
Mm-hmm.
There's not going to be a criminal investigation here.
No.
And that's what the Democrats are calling for. There's not going to be a criminal investigation of Brett Kavanaugh on the evidence that has been provided on something that happened, that allegedly happened 36 years ago.
And they know that.
Of course they know that.
Yep.
So what is it all about? And that's why even Democrats aren't going to respond and say, no, this is about getting justice for her, because everybody knows that's a load of crap.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it was, as we said earlier, it was truly about justice for Ms. Ford, Dianne Feinstein would have taken the allegation immediately to the FBI to include in the background check and interview any of the parties that were involved in it or seen if they wished to be interviewed in a confidential manner to find out if something was really there. If she truly cared about hashtag Me Too and any of the other Democrats really cared about hashtag Me Too, they would have immediately said, okay, let's run this by. We don't know whether it's credible or not, but let's run this by the FBI's part of the background check. Look, and the FBI inserted the letter into the file, but that's all they really did. But as an investigation, no. But they would have to throw it by them and see what the FBI would have said on it. And the due diligence would have been done at that time. But it wasn't about due diligence or about getting justice for somebody that they actually believed. It was simply about doing whatever they could at the last moment to deny an originalist constructionist onto the Supreme Court.
Right.
End of story.
Yep. And delay, 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 delay. Well, there's no reason you can't go forward with the vote at the very latest a week from today.
Mm-hmm.
That's if Ford's lawyer agrees that Ford will talk to the committee even behind closed doors. If she's not willing to appear before the committee on Monday, now, Banks said, the lawyer said, last night on CNN, on Anderson Cooper, she's not willing to go before the committee on Monday. Well, then cancel it. You're not going, because this is, that's another delay tactic. Give her time. Nope. She knows the story. It's been decades. What is it that she's not prepared to answer? What do you mean she's not prepared? If she's telling the truth, she's fully prepared.
Right. And if she doesn't want to go before the television cameras, they can do it in private.
They've behind closed doors.
In a closed session.
Right.
Remember, you are the party that made the allegation at the last minute.
Yep. Great. Turn the cameras off.
Because remember, she went to Feinstein, but she didn't promote it in other avenues that she could have promoted it back in July when she sent the letter.
Yep.
So this was also her decision to not bring this out to the last moment.
Right.
Because her only option was just not Feinstein. She could have gone, by the way, to the Judiciary Committee, to the Republican. Because remember, they still run the Judiciary Committee.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't go to the Judiciary Committee. She went directly to Feinstein.
Right. That's the tell. And keep in mind.
By the way, that's a great point. That's a great tell because that shows you the politics involved in it.
Yes.
It wasn't going to the Judiciary Committee, which they couldn't have ignored it.
Right. Well, and at the very least, go send it to Grassley.
Right.
Send it to both Grassley and to Feinstein.
Yes.
Knowing if Grassley tries to bury it because he's protecting the nominee or Trump, that Feinstein also is aware of it. So, look, there are so many holes in this entire situation. Again, it gets down to this. She still has a chance, if her lawyer agrees, to speak to the committee. That decision, though, is hers. By the way, the lawyer Banks saying on CNN also that this just came out 48 hours ago. Nope. You wrote the letter in July. She wrote the letter in July.
Right.
This didn't just come out. As you mentioned earlier, she knew from the get-go where this was supposed to go. Why would you reach out? Why would you agree to reach out if she was pressured to do so? There's no one on the planet that's going to pressure me to do something like this if I am not comfortable doing it. So she ultimately had to agree to send that letter to Feinstein in July. This didn't happen 48 hours ago, Ms. Banks. This happened in July, and she's known about it all along. But, again, she's not comfortable in front of cameras? Fine. Talk to the committee behind closed doors. Because when are you not prepared to tell the truth? See, that's that one word with lawyers. Prepared. Not prepared to go to, if you're telling the truth, you're prepared. If you're telling the truth, because you can request and the lawyer can request, we don't want this on television. We would like to do this behind closed doors, but she wants to be heard. The lawyer's going to be there. What is she not prepared for? She's telling the truth, right? If that's the case, she's prepared to talk to anyone at any time because the truth is easy to tell.
Well, she's already told what she believes is the truth, according to her lawyer, in the letter.
Was she prepared to talk to the Washington Post?
Right, she's prepared to talk to Washington Post, prepared to talk to... sent the letter to Dianne Feinstein, talked to her lawyer about it, took a lie detector test. Sounds like somebody who was quite prepared.
Yep. I think she's very prepared. That is, if she's telling the truth.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Hurley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. We'll get to more of your calls and comments coming up following the top of the hour on the allegations against Brett Kavanaugh and where this is going and whether we'll have hearings or not have hearings, or whether she, Ms. Ford, is going to agree to talk to the committee or not, or whether there needs to be an FBI investigation. This thing is rapidly moving. The goalposts are rapidly moving. We have gone from an NFL-sized field to the Canadian Football League very quickly.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, again, when you look to assess a situation in the court of public opinion, because this is never going to reach a criminal trial because, statute of limitations, if the event ever occurred, the statute of limitations is gone. But in the court of public opinion, this is about what? Believability. When you have somebody who has made a claim, can't back up the claim, can't remember fairly significant details that should be remembered about an event that she says took place, gets a lawyer, seemingly goes the full measure and is willing to go before the American people, and then all of a sudden, no.
And we're going to have to do it again. We're going to have to go point by point on the Democrats again, now coming out, sending a letter and stating that what the president is doing is inappropriate by declassifying the information on the FBI.
Mm-hmm.
Just amazing. It really is. And we'll tear apart every point that they're trying to make and show you again that either they are lying to the American public, are willfully ignorant, or just ignorant as to the three branches of government, how the three branches of government work. In fact, the amazing thing is these are members of Congress who apparently don't understand Congress's role in the three branches of government,
yeah.
And they are members of Congress.
Mm-hmm. They're counting on you not to, their constituents not to know.
Eric, what am I supposed to do here? I'm supposed to talk on the radio about the issues? Really? Mm-hmm. That's my job? Oh, that's the job of a talk show host.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, my responsibilities and the things. Okay, what's my authority? What's my response? Hey, we have to know what we're doing. In your job, you have to know what you have the authority to do. Apparently, these members of Congress have no idea what authority Congress has and is given to them under the Constitution to represent we, the people of the United States.
Yes. By the way, if you like the talk show that you're hosting, you can keep the talk show that you're currently hosting. If you like your co-host, no comments. No comments.
Wait a minute. That hasn't been the radio business I've been in for the last 36
your co-host.
Years.
Yeah. That gets back to you because I'm reminded of Gruber, a stupid American voter. And that's what the left counts on. They count on time and time again. American people being ignorant, and they know people are willfully ignorant. We believe you're smart enough, but you have to do the work.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara. Thanks so much for being here. I'm just reading the story.
Yeah.
From Fox News. Move over helicopter parents.
Right.
A whole new breed of
parents.
Of terrifying moms and dads have arrived just in time for the new school year. It is the lawnmower parent.
Well, what is the lawnmower parent? What do they do?
A lawnmower parent.
Okay. Helicopter parent hovers over their child all the time, right?
Right. Right. Lawnmower parents,
uh-huh.
And just so you know, when I heard lawnmower parents, I remember that old saying, you're blank.
You're the
blank,
grass, I'm the lawnmower.
Right, so I thought, oh, tough parents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Lawnmower parents go to whatever lengths necessary to prevent their child from having to face adversity, struggle, or failure. Instead, preparing their children for challenges, they mow obstacles.
Oh, they work ahead of them.
Yes, they mow obstacles right. down so kids won't experience them in the first place.
Well, that would be a brush hog parent. Because grass isn't really an obstacle. Brush is.
In recent weeks, the so-called phenomenon of such parents has gone viral on Facebook after an anonymous middle school teacher shared the tale of a supposed run-in with a real-life lawnmower dad. To educate in the blog We Are Teachers.
Yeah.
In the post titled Lawnmower Parents Are the New Helicopter Parents and We Are Not Here For It, which has since received 2,300 likes and 12,000 shares. By the way, that's nothing.
Right.
On the social platform, The unnamed teacher recalls being summoned to the school's office to pick up something a parent dropped off for the student. Believing it would be an essential item like an inhaler or money for dinner, the teacher was shocked to find that the father went out of his way to deliver an insulated water bottle for his daughter. Lawnmower parents go to whatever lengths are necessary to prevent their child from having to face adversity, struggle, or failure, instead preparing children for challenges. They mow obstacles down so kids won't have to experience them in the first place. Showing up in a suit for the midday water bottle drop-off, the dad began by sheepishly saying, "Hi, sorry," before handing over the bottle, the writer says. So this is what they now call lawnmower parents. That I don't know what's the difference between a, because a helicopter parent, helicopter parents came about. I remember the first story on helicopter parents. These are parents that were going to interviews with their kids.
Right. Job interviews.
Yes. Or the parent would call up the company a couple of days later and say, "My son or daughter came in for an interview. Are you interested in hiring them?" Can you imagine? When we were young, our parents trying to do something like that. Now, I will tell you this. My dad did help me get my first job cleaning toilets. Because he went up there and there was a sign. And it said, you know, we need porters. And so my dad said, "You're looking for somebody to, what, be a porter, clean the toilets, clean the bakery, clean the floor, all the gunk off the floors." And I don't know what set my father off, but he said, "That's the kind of job my son is qualified for."
Yes. Maybe.
And he was wrong. I actually wasn't qualified enough to do that. I had to learn how to clean all the gunk off the floor in a bakery.
Uh-huh.
It didn't take long. The training was only one day. Because if you didn't learn it in one day, you were out.
Right.
And but my dad talked to the person in charge. That's about as helicopter as my father got, and said, "Don't hire anybody. My son will be here in 15 minutes. I'm going home right now." My dad went home. I jumped on my bicycle and went up right up there right then. I said, "My dad was just in here." And she said, "Oh, yeah, so you're interested in the porter job." "Yeah, okay, you go to the local high school." "Yeah." Man, I was so excited. And I got my two of my best friends' jobs there, too.
Yeah.
And we were, you know, we all started as porters and, you know, and janitors and, you know, then moved up to things like serving and counter people and assist. I got to assistant donut baker.
Ah. You get to make the holes?
Yeah. You know, do the punching and doing all that. The worst thing was, I mean, it's probably got to be all automated today. You know what I hated the most? Turning the turn the donuts with like chopsticks in the actual grease, and the grease would always fly up and get on my hands. You know, the hot grease.
Right.
I hated that.
Right. You got to pull it towards you and then turn it over away from you.
Yes.
Yes.
But that's about all it was. You know, I but that was as close as my dad got, saying, "Hold on, this is perfect for my son."
Yes.
Now this is something my son is qualified to do: clean toilets. Doesn't do it at home. He'll do it here.
Right. If you pay him.
But I can't imagine my dad calling up and going on an interview with my dad when a teenager. You know how embarrassing that would have been for all of us? No! But, yeah, so that's it. Lawnmower parents. Hopefully we'll have more in the future on lawnmower parents.
Yeah.
I don't know what differentiates them. They don't explain what differentiates them from helicopter parents, though.
Yeah. Because either way, what you're doing is you're moving all, you're trying to remove all the obstacles or learning opportunities out of your children's lives. Yeah. No.
Or the
I have no interest in doing that.
Or the tough moments.
Right. Yeah. Learning opportunities. Yeah. Those are, you're going to fail. And when you do, life is going to teach you things that I can't. And lessons that will be there long after my lessons are gone. You're going to be still learning, hopefully.
And for people
long after
know,
I'm gone.
For people who know, helicopter parents were parents that hovered over you. Mm-hmm. You know, that's always the whole concept.
Yeah, they were always there.
When I saw a lawnmower, I said, what? Oh, they mow obstacles. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if we or the Fox story is the first story to ever use that term,
yeah,
lawnmower parents.
I don't know. Or brush hog parents. Or bulldozer parents.
Bulldozer. I like that. Bulldozer,
yeah,
parents.
Yeah.
Bulldoze the way for you.
Right. Well, I wouldn't have any interest in making anything easy for my children. You know, when it comes to life's, you know, everyday occurrences and events. There's not a need. A, they're smarter than I am. And B, they won't learn without failure.
Well, and for me, I've always viewed life because I remember what scared me the most.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I didn't let the fear defeat me, I felt great about it. Mm-hmm. And I've always thought that fear was my greatest motivation.
Yeah, right.
Fear of not wanting to take the challenge because I thought it was too hard, or I wouldn't understand it, or... That was really it. Or I might not succeed at it.
Mm-hmm.
And when I know, as I've often talked about, the greatest thing that ever happened to me was as a child. Every single when I was young, for anybody under 80,
mm-hmm,
when I was growing up, Little League teams cut. You didn't make the Little League team.
Right.
Everybody didn't make the team.
Right.
They actually cut. In Little League.
Mm-hmm.
And I was an I'm not the incredible, you know, male physique, manly guy that I am today.
Right.
I was this little runt.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I've changed.
Right.
And I got cut from every team. Every single team. I try out for the football, get cut. Baseball, get cut. Soccer, get cut. Didn't matter. Basketball, get cut. I was just too small.
Mm-hmm.
And so what year do you start Little League? I don't know. How old can you be? 8, 9, 10?
Well, yeah. I mean, because, you know, I played the peewee baseball, the T-ball, probably starting around, I don't know, 4 or 5.
Okay. This was when I was able to do it. It wasn't my parents putting me into something. I chose to do it. So mm-hmm, it was probably 7 or 8 years old that I started mm-hmm trying out.
I ran away from home at the age of 4 and became a semi-pro T-ball player.
And so I was one that put, I want to try out. And so I remember the first one was a baseball team,
mm-hmm,
and they didn't even take a look at me. I wasn't part of the group of kids that they knew. I mean, I mm-hmm went out there in the outfield, took one. I caught a ball in the outfield and hit the ball, you know, with the bat,
mm-hmm,
and that was it. And they said, sorry, you're gone.
Yeah, I was 9 when I first tried out for a team.
Yeah, a lot of the tryouts were less than 2 or 3 minutes. It wasn't like they put you through a whole workout.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, nah, you're just, we can look at you and know that you can't cut it.
Well,
in Little League.
I tried out for left field, and so the coach was, it was very clear, all right, you know, I'm going to hit you some pop flies. That's it. And you got to get them. And I'm going to hit you 3, and you better catch 3. And I caught them 3. I caught all 3.
See?
So that was
but
it.
I didn't know it at the time because I'd be devastated for 10 minutes and then start practicing for the next one. And
mm-hmm,
and best thing that ever happened to me. You don't know it as a kid, but then when you realize, well, okay, the fear of trying out for something and not making it, once that leaves you, to me is the greatest relief when you just don't care anymore. You just want to do something and you're going to do it. And there may be a little fear of doing it. Okay, can I do it? But you still go ahead and do it. I have found that fear keeps people from doing great things.
Right.
I can tell you, I don't know, probably if I went back through my life, 100 people who never lived up close to what their potential would be because of fear.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they got to a place, they were just so happy that they got to that place and said, I just don't want to go any further because I don't want to lose what I have here because I don't know if I can, you know, reach a little bit higher.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always thought that that's the worst thing that a society can do to a people, which is why when you and I talked about Bernie Sanders, that we look at it, a lot of people look at the victim mentality and say, well, we're telling these people that they're victims and that they need help, or that, look, you can't make it. And I'll never forget when Bernie Sanders was running, I'll never forget the one college student or a couple college students. Well, we can't make it. We have to rely on help because we don't have it. The society is against us and we just can't do it. And that was what was being sold to college students.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's the cruelest thing that you could ever do. By playing the victim mentality with young people, what you're telling them is they don't have the ability to make it in life,
mm-hmm.
unless they blame somebody else and need somebody else's assistance to do it because they can't do it on their own. They can't make it.
Yeah, this, you know, it's interesting because I had a conversation with one of my adult children. This was some time ago, a little over a year ago, actually. And a friend of the family was there. It was just us three in the room. And I was telling my adult child that, look, here's some of the obstacles you're going to run into in the professional workplace. With your given situation, right? This is the situation you're in, your personal situation, your education, and all of this. All these things that you've got working for you. Now, I'm going to warn you of some possibilities of some of these hurdles that will come to fruition and they'll be in your way at some point. I can advise you if you need advice as to how to get around them, over them, through them. And I said, here are some things that right now as an employer, they're going to look at you and they're going to say these things are working against you. And the family friend said, well, how dare you tell her she can't? I said, I didn't say she can't. In fact, I'm telling her how she can. And that's the only thing I can, and I've told my adult children, each of them separately, unsolicitedly over the years, that my advice is really meaningless. Because you're not going to really learn it until you experience it.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to learn anything until you live through it. You're going to be told something, and you're going to have to make sacrifices. At some point in your professional life, you will choose, to some extent likely, to sacrifice something in your personal life in order to move ahead. And then at some point in your personal life, you will make a choice to sacrifice something in your professional life in order to move forward. Those things are going to happen. That is part of life. That is part of being a part of the workforce or achieving something that you want to achieve. It's not necessarily about money. It's about what your personal goals are. I can't set those goals for any of my adult children, nor do I want to. But what I can tell them is these are some of the things you need to look out for. It's like telling them, all right, when you go down this street, there's a stop sign at the end of the street. That's what you're going to experience. There's a stoplight down there, or there's traffic down there. I can tell you where it is, but until you live through it, you're really not going to learn your way around. And I'm very grateful that, again, all of my children are smarter than I am, and they've done very well. And they've done it because life will teach you lessons that no parent ever can.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Coming up on the bottom of the hour, more your calls and comments, and really just asking the question now that it looks like it's obvious that this is just a complete stall. I think even Democrats privately would admit it. Should the Republicans set a date to vote on Brett Kavanaugh and confirm him? We'll get to more of your calls and comments on that. Plus, some of the headlines. Look at this from Fox. Declassification of Russian probe documents underway after Trump order. Congressional sources fear red tape delay. Something that we were talking about in August when we said he should do it now. The president should give himself plenty of room. Because you know, inside the bureaucracy, you're going to try to play any games possible not to release this information. Mm-hmm. And then, leading congressional Democrats are looking to stall the process to release documents related to the Russia investigation. And we told you this, the Democrats do not want transparency. The Democrats do not want you to know. Remember, they're the ones that claim that the FBI, it's Adam Schiff who claims that the FBI has the intelligence that they did, that there was collusion. Well, let us see.
For Video Road Log, here's your forecast.
As river flooding continues in the Carolinas, so do the road closures. Be mindful of that today if you're in and out of the Carolinas. In the wake of Florence, prolific river flooding will remain a long-term concern for the Carolinas and parts of southern Virginia. The remnants of Florence will be lingering off the east coast around New York City today and then eventually making its way out to sea. We're looking for clear conditions for the Midwest today with plenty of high pressure in place through the southern plains. One area of precipitation from yesterday lingering as a stationary front. That'll be between Madison and Pierre on I-90 in the northern plains. The west is dry. West of the Rockies, not much to talk about in terms of any rain. It's the I-95 corridor from Maine to Florida that'll see the bulk of the precip today across the nation. And there's a midweek look at your national weather forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Thanks so much, John. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Their fingers. Gary McNamara and Eric Hurley on Red Eye Radio.
And he is Eric Hurley. I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. I do want to play this one audio cut here before we cover a couple of things here as we talk about the Brett Kavanaugh accusations and also now to the president wanting to declassify, and that coming up in just a moment, on the Carter Page FISA warrant. And this, I want to play this audio cut from Senator Hirono, the Democrat from Hawaii. And what she said about the allegations of misfortunes towards Brett Kavanaugh and how men should react.
Of course it helps that there are women on that committee, but you know what? I expect the men in this country and the men in this committee, and many of them, believe me, because we all signed on to this letter to demand an FBI investigation. But really, guess who's perpetuating all of these kinds of actions? It's the men in this country. And I just want to say to the men in this country, just shut up and step up.
I have no idea what that means, except men shouldn't be able to comment on it. And that's, of course, a completely ridiculous and reprehensible statement to make. When it comes to any type of criminal allegation that is made, irrespective of whether it is a sexual crime, a crime of violence, a crime of theft, a crime of passion of murder, everybody has a right to speak up and demand that evidence be the judge of whether somebody is believed to be guilty or innocent of a crime.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And this is where the Democrats are going, that the woman makes the allegation in itself is good enough. We believe her because she said it. That does not cut it in a court of law.
Nope.
It does not cut it when it comes to morality. Evidence is what counts. And evidence doesn't care whether you're a male or whether you're a female.
Well, because it's to say that that a woman could not be accused of wrongful behavior. Well, of course she could.
Right. Or a woman can't lie about an assault, which we know happens. You can only judge it as we have said across the board. By the way, does this mean now that they believe all of the... they can believe all the accusations against Bill Clinton because...
Well, Juanita Broderick, certainly, right.
Well,
then you should believe her.
Well, they do
and
now.
And then need to stand up.
Well, they
right?
do now.
Mm-hmm.
Now that it doesn't matter, now they mm-hmm. believe the witnesses against Clinton.
Yeah, I've never heard anyone say they believe Juanita Broderick. Her claim is pretty sizable claim. Rape.
This is where the Democrats now are going. Men, shut up. You have no say in this. Well, of course I have a say. Mm-hmm. I haven't done anything. Mm-hmm. I have a right to say it. You have a right to say it. Anybody has a right to say, look, I don't believe the evidence is there. I want to judge and see where there is no evidence. Sorry, an accusation itself is not the evidence of guilt. In this country, it never has been. Our country is built on the fact that you are innocent until proven guilty.
Mm.
Because you have a group on the left that is trying to perpetuate that the alleged victim who claims the allegation always must be believed without question is pure BS. And everybody knows it.
Mm-hmm.
People are afraid to say it because... you'll be viewed as anti-women. Well, that's ridiculous. You're not anti-women if you say no. In any case, I don't care whether you're male or female. In any crime, of an allegation of a crime, evidence is what we must look for, not the gender of the person. The gender of the person does not automatically equate to victimization or believability or credibility.
Nope.
And that's where the Democrats are attempting to head. That's where they're attempting to go because they believe that most people will be afraid to challenge them on that and say that's a ridiculous statement.
Well, what they're doing here is they're trying to create social media in the legal setting of a Senate hearing. While it is not a criminal setting, it is part of the system that we have in place for confirmation. So that's what they want. They want this to become a social media event. They want to hashtag the daylights out of this thing because they believe if they get enough people screaming that they could essentially either get Grassley to delay, get Trump to withdraw, get Kavanaugh to withdraw, but it's not going to happen. It's something that, and we have to go back to an earlier caller who said, you know, keep it up. But this is part of the tactics by the left that may well cost them the 2020 election. They've ramped it up since 2016. I don't know what's going to happen. We don't make predictions for 2018, let alone 2020. But this kind of behavior, even it wasn't even near what it is right now, is exactly how Trump and Republicans won in 2016. And keep in mind, the Republicans won in a big way. Will they do that in 2018? If they do, in part, it will be because of this kind of behavior.
Here, Fox News. Intelligence agencies and the FBI become the process of declassifying key documents in the Bureau's Russia investigation, and the first items could be made public as soon as Friday, federal law enforcement officials told Fox News on Tuesday. However, two congressional sources are emphasizing that the declassification review should not be long and drawn out. Despite concerns over protecting sources and methods, the congressional sources said they fear that process was being used to frustrate the president's order and unnecessarily slow roll the public release of the records. On Monday, President Trump ordered the release of 21 pages of renewed surveillance warrant application against former campaign aide Carter Page and all the FBI reports on agent interviews known as 302s with Justice Department official Bruce Orr. The officials told Fox News that the declassification process for those documents has already begun. They said that the FBI and the Office of Director of National Intelligence were working together on the project with the possible involvement of other agencies. Eventually, the officials said that the declassified product will be passed to the White House. However, officials said it would likely take considerably longer to make public the other two sets of documents covered by Trump's declassification order, all 302s in connection with the warrant application to surveil page and text messages from five current and former FBI Department of Justice officials involved in the Russia investigation. These officials are former FBI Director James Comey, Deputy Director Andrew McCabe, former FBI Director Peter Strzok, and former FBI lawyer Lisa Page, and or. Trump ordered the messages released without redaction, which is likely to add to the time needed to declassify them by officials, which is why we said he should have done this in August.
Right.
To ensure it's out there ASAP, and we believe before the election. Leading congressional Democrats, from the Daily Caller, are looking to stall the process to release documents related to the Russia investigation. Representatives Nancy Pelosi, Adam Schiff, Chuck Schumer, and Mark Warner sent a letter Tuesday asking Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein, FBI Director Christopher Wray, and Director of National Intelligence Dan Coats to provide an immediate briefing to the Gang of Eight before declassifying and releasing the documents. The four Democrats expressed profound alarm at Trump's order to declassify the records. Mm-hmm. Trump ordered the Justice Department, as we know, to do all of this. The Democrats argue that Trump's action is a brazen abuse of power. We have already, over the last couple of days, we addressed that a month ago.
Right.
It's not an abuse of power.
No.
Aimed at undermining the special counsel's investigation into possible collusion between the Trump campaign and the Russian government. That's a bogus claim. They know it. It's a lie. This does not affect the Mueller investigation whatsoever. This is a separate investigation, not on Donald Trump. This is an investigation of the FBI and our intelligence agencies. This is an investigation by the House Intelligence Committee. It's a separate investigation from the Mueller investigation. We have to keep repeating this because Democrats keep repeating the same lie over and over and over again, understanding that they believe the people that vote for them are stupid, are ignorant of how the system runs, and if they continue to lie to their constituents, they can continue to have support.
Yep.
The House Intelligence Committee is separate from the Mueller investigation. The House Intelligence Committee is made up of elected representatives of Congress who represent the people and have oversight authority of the FBI and the Department of Justice. They have every right to have their investigation and to ask the president to declassify information that they believe is pertinent to the investigation and what they believe should be public to the American people, so the American people understand what happened in the 2016 election, whether it was Donald Trump colluding with the Russians to hack the election or whether it was the FBI getting a secret warrant using evidence that they claimed was one thing when in reality it was another.
And that's what it comes down to, is that the oversight committees had the authority. The Justice Department ignored the subpoenas. You have a situation where the president is the only person who has the power to open this thing up to full transparency level. They can try and delay. The president, if you ignore an order, by the way, that's a firing offense. Go ahead and try and trickle this thing out past the election. This is the tactic. This is right in the middle of the playbook that right now is running the left. It is alive and well. If you had any questions before Strzok, you certainly don't now. If you had any question before McCabe, whose new book comes out December 4th, you don't now. The political agenda is so embedded inside the Beltway. If you look at the number of operatives, Project Veritas, another video coming out there, someone in the State Department, would do anything, anything to block, anything to stall the process. There was no doubt, but we actually now, thanks to Project Veritas, have it on tape, somebody saying that. These are operatives now. These people don't work for the current administration, aren't there to work for the people. They're not serving the American people. They're serving an agenda. And that's what it comes down to.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Let us go to Jim in Seattle. Jim, you're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show.
Greetings from the left coast.
Hi. What's up?
I keep hearing how the Democrats want Kavanaugh to be investigated by the FBI, and I think that's a great idea. And because, you know, in the interest of bipartisanship, I think we should use the highest standard possible and investigate him using the Hillary standard. That way they should have penned his exoneration about 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Right. Exactly.
Hey, well, you know, that has come up, and you know, we've gotten some correspondence that the FBI should do the investigation, but as we all know, the FBI, number one, has refused to take it because they are not an investigative body in this process to begin with, and it wasn't a federal crime. And the statute of limitations is way up on a crime like this, so it would, the only people that would ever look at it would be somebody local.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they're not going to look at it because it's 36 years old. You can't get a conviction on it.
Possibly 36 years old.
Possibly. We're not sure.
Yeah.
She's not. The alleged victim isn't sure, you know, when it actually happened. Thinks it was 1982. And so there is nowhere to go with it.
Well, and again, everyone involved knows this. They want the discussion to keep going. They want the interest on what has really become the sideshow. Because these are not relevant items. The FBI is not going to get involved. Local officials are not going to get involved. There's really only one question. Will Ford actually appear before members of Congress? Will she speak to the committee? And will she do so on camera or behind closed doors? That's what this is all about. That's the next step. That's either a yes or a no. She will talk to the committee, whether she does so on camera or behind closed doors. If she's not going to talk to the committee on Monday, move forward with the vote.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.